Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. As the temperatures heat up and it's time for activities like camping, canoeing, gardening, and even lawn mowing, craft beer drinkers are seeking lighter, summer-friendly beers. And there are several different varieties out there: wheat beers, Helles beers, cream ales, and of course, good old American lagers. Corey Vilhauer writes for the Sioux Falls Argus Leader's Beer We've Been Drinking blog, and he joins us for discussion of summer beers. And Corey, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Thanks for having me.
Well, last, I think it was November, December, we talked about winter beers. Now we'll turn to the beers for this season. Are there certain hallmarks involved with the different varieties and styles of beers and ales that people like to drink during the summer?
Well, the summer, we talked about winter warmers last year, and those are heavy, and they are overly malty, and they are dark, and all of that sounds horrible if you're sitting on the back deck under a 75-degree sun. So we're looking for lighter beers. We're looking for stuff that's pretty easy to drink, and obviously then, because it's easy to drink, it needs to be lower in alcohol. Something fruity, something which is different from having fruit in it, of course, but something fruity, something light, something really refreshing.
Now, the flavors of the summer beers, it sounds like they're a little bit more subtle, not as aggressive in flavor and texture of the winter warmers you were talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. The subtleties that show up are a little bit more. I find summer lagers and summer ales to be a little bit more interesting because you don't have as much room for error. It isn't such a thick blast of flavor. It's just something that you can, something that doesn't overpower whatever steak or hamburger or hot dog you have to be grilling at that time.
Well, that's what I find interesting about the summer beers or the lagers, the paler beers, is that because they're lighter, it would seem on the surface that those are easier to make, but that's not the case. It's the heavier, the thicker beers, where, as you mentioned, there's more room for error. You can just mask everything with all these the explosion of flavors.
Absolutely. It's so much more difficult. And as somebody who is on a basic level a very failed home brewer, I've had the most trouble trying to do something lighter. It's not easy by any means to put together a stout or a porter, but the stouts are a lot more forgiving. You can add flavors to it that will mask imperfections. With a lager, you can't. You really have to do it right.
Well, let's talk about some of your some of the favorite styles, some of the things that are out there that people may be interested in, ones that you like. You wrote about some of them in your latest blog entry, Beer We've Been Drinking, about seeking lighter beers for summer. You mentioned wheat beers or Hefeweizens. What can you tell us about those beers?
Pretty much anything that comes out of Germany is going to be fantastic in terms of summer beers. The Hefeweizen is a little different from your traditional American wheat, something like Boulevard wheat, in that it's a little, it depends, but the flavor's a little bit stronger, it's a little bit more full, I find some of them to be a little bit sweeter. They're a lot more complex than what you sort of find from an American wheat. In fact, I have had a hard time finding an American wheat that I really like anymore because I started really focusing on German Hefeweizens and the German Helles, the Kolsch, German Kolsch, which is actually not a lager, it's an ale, but it has that same profile of really light, really complex, and there's nothing that the American South have that really matches it.
Now, talking about wheat beers in particular, I know that for myself, I've never cared for wheat beers, and usually if I see, it's a wheat beer, I just dismiss it. But there are certain wheat beers, American or the German Hefeweizens, that might be worth checking out, particularly for someone who's maybe had bad luck with wheat beers in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. As much as New Belgium has sort of leveled off in terms of their normal beer, they have some fantastic stuff, but their usual fare has kind of has been overshadowed by a lot of other breweries. They put out a couple of really, really good summery beers this year. One of them is called Snapshot. Snapshot's a wheat beer that is just a little bit more sour than your typical wheat beer. And then there's a brewery I can never pronounce correctly, Weinstefiner. Weinstefiner. It's a big, long word that starts with W, and they have a beer called Vitus, V-I-T-U-S, which is fantastic. It's amazing. It's a five-star beer for sure. And you can usually either find that on tap, or it'll be in a 22-ounce bottle, sort of in the area where the German lagers end up at a you know, someplace like Taylor's or JJ's.
In Sioux Falls.
Yeah, in Sioux Falls, right.
Now, when you talk about Coryville, how your own personal taste, the things that make a five-star beer, are there certain things that you have in mind or that you like that for you, when we're talking about summer beers, that make it what you call a five-star beer?
Yeah, it's funny because it really differs. I don't have a specific style I really, really like anymore, more than any other one. It has to do with sort of the complexity and the fullness of the beer. The Vitus is really complex, really full. It just tastes different than something you would get otherwise, and it's sort of it's surprising. And I think maybe the one thing I like in a new beer that I'm trying is it surprising? Is it interesting? Is there something in this that is different from what I'm used to in a positive way? So a five star beer for me, which is, you know, completely subjective. I like things like Vienna lagers, and Vienna lagers are not everybody's favorite style. But I'm willing to give a lot of Vienna lagers five stars because I think they're fantastic. They're malty. They are a little bit darker. They're different from what you might usually find on the shelf.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're discussing summer beers, summer craft beers with Corey Vilhauer. He's one of the authors of the Sioux Falls Argus Leader's Beer We've Been Drinking blog. And are there certain beers that you like for different activities that you're doing, say, in the evening after a long day, you're camping, or maybe, you know, maybe something when you're out boating, or even when you're out in the lawn, maybe doing some work in the garden or lawn mowing and that sort of thing?
Sure. Any of these summer beers are pretty good after that. But I really, when I'm camping, or especially when you're out boating on the lake, I looked for things that are in cans first. So that's the time when I started end up buying things like Crow Peaks Cream Ale, which is it's not my favorite of the style, but it is fantastic in that it is can ready and it is ready to go on the boat, and it works out really well. Also, you know, I'm a big Minnesota Grain Belt fan. I like Grain Belt. I like Northeast. I like pretty much anything Shell puts out. Things like New Belgium Shift, which is a canned pale lager that goes down really well when you're out camping. I like that you say after a day of camping. Usually it's throughout the day of camping.
Throughout the day. Yeah, you mentioned Grain Belt. To me, that's one of the stereotypical, I guess, lawnmower beers.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually where, you know, they're owned and produced by Shell's now. But, I mean, I've been drinking Grain Belt since I was in college, and it's not the best beer by any means, but it is a really comfortable beer, and it's perfect for, you know, like I said, some 95 degree day after you've mowed the lawn. And the last thing you want to do is I don't want to say waste, but you certainly don't want to down some $5 German lager at that point. It's time to just have something that's more refreshing than anything else.
Yeah, and beer in the summer, you're, again, going back to the winter beers, which seem to be more sipping beers, also more high alcohol content, so you're not going to gulp it down. And the beer, as you mentioned, in the summer, refreshing, that you're drinking more of it, I imagine, or at least you're taking a bigger gulp. Is that true?
Yeah, that's absolutely it, and that's why a lot of your summer beers, especially the ones that sell really well and stuff you'll see in the shelves, are a lower alcohol. Crow Peak just put out something. I'm not sure if you can get this in cans. I almost positive you can't, but they have something called Badger Bitter. And the traditional bitter is a much lower alcohol, somewhere in the threes. And it was initially meant for consuming on your lunch break when you were in England. And it's sort of become a go-to summer beer now because it is low in alcohol, because it is something that you can drink to refresh yourself and not end up with giant wavy lines out in your lawn when you start up again.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the cream ales, particularly out in Spearfish, Crow Peaks Canyon cream ale. I'm not sure what exactly a cream ale is.
I hate using the term because it's such a finicky, fussy word, but it has a certain mouthfeel to it. It's a little bit creamier. It's a little bit lighter. Something like if people are familiar with really the best and most popular cream ale I can think of is Spotted Cow out of Wisconsin. I say it's popular even though you can only buy it in Wisconsin. But New Glarus Brewing puts out Spotted Cow, which is sort of the typical top-rated example of what a cream ale can be. But they're a little paler. They're perfect, like I said, for camping, for lawn mowing. It's just a different method, and if I knew how different that method was, I could probably go on for an hour, but I don't. I just know they're just another style. It's sort of the American style of what would be considered a craft light lager.
Do you like, say, a pale ale during the summer? A little bit, perhaps a little bit more hoppy or bitter beers.
I do sometimes. I'm not going to grab for pale ales. I'm not going to grab for an IPA as often during the summer. But I think there's always a place for a really good hoppy beer. I just don't. You know, a lot of them aren't canned. A lot of them aren't readily available. The best time to get new pale ales and new IPAs are when the seasonal, fresh hopped ones come out sort of later in the year and in the end of October. So there's not a lot of new ones. My beer selection tends to be very seasonal these days because I've tried so many of the standard line. And so what you end up getting is a lot of really interesting lagers and if there's a pale ale, it's a very pale ale. Although there are some exceptions. Summit put out something called Fest Beer this year. It came out earlier in the year, and it is essentially an Oktoberfest that they put out early in the season, and it's fantastic. It's the best beer I've had this year, and it's not even in style. It's not even in season. It's just this great Oktoberfest that makes me almost wish that the leaves were falling off the trees already.
With the seasonal beers that are out there, and the interest in finding those new surprising 5-star beers, finding something that you haven't had before, is it difficult then finding time or room for the old standbys or the old favorites or beer that you've had in the past that you say, oh, that's one of my all time favorites? But I mean, you can only drink so much beer.
Right. Absolutely. And that's exactly what happens is. You get to the point where you are no longer trying any of the old standbys or any of the beers that are part of a brewery's actual, year-round selection. And usually when at least in my case, the only time that changes is if I go to, say, a baseball game and they only have a limited selection, or if you go to a smaller gas station, or if you're in a smaller town, out by a lake. They will have a smaller selection, and that's when I always find myself grabbing a six pack of Grain Belt or Pabst Blue Ribbon or something along those lines of I don't necessarily want a Bud Light right now, so I better grab maybe the closest thing. And sometimes the closest thing is Grain Belt.
Grain Belt, as you mentioned, made by Shells in New Ulm, Minnesota. Any other, that's an old brewery, one of the oldest in the country. Any new brewers in the region that you find rather interesting that are worth checking out?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of, we've just got them in, but I've started to really, really enjoy the stuff that's coming out of Lucid Brewing. And they're out of Minneapolis, or in the Minneapolis area. They've got some great beers that we're just starting to get into Sioux Falls. There are I like the things that are coming out of Wooden Legs, which is in Brookings. I really like the stuff that they're doing. Just about 15 minutes ago, I had a sample of a farmhouse ale that a new brewer called Overture Brewing is going to be putting out. It'll be in cans. It's really, really good, a little bit bitter at the end, farmhouse ale or Saison. You won't be able to see that until probably next year, or later in the year, but it's going to be good, and so look out for that brewery.
And the Saison, those tend to be those are lower alcohol beers. They're not quite like session beers, though.
Right. It depends. This one actually is a lower alcohol beer, but sometimes they can be stronger. It just depends on how full the flavor ends up being. But they're tart. They are a little funky. They are one of my favorite styles. And the Saisons don't show up as much in the summer, which is weird to me because I think it makes a really good summer beer too.
Now, brewery tours are fun. Do you ever go on? Do you like to go on brewery tours?
I do. I go on brewery tours whenever I can. If I have a chance of traveling, I'll stop into one. The last one I went on was at Summit Brewing in St. Paul, and it was a fun little tour. You got to go behind the scenes and see, you know, their setup and figure out, you know, how much space it takes to actually brew some of these beers, and then you get to go sample all the things. And a lot of times when you go to brewery tours, you end up trying, or even if you just go to a brewery tap room like Wooden Legs in Brookings, if you go in, they're going to have something that you can't get elsewhere because it's, you know, it may be a experimental beer, it may be something they haven't figured out quite the right mix. They haven't determined exactly how well it will sell, and so they haven't gone through the risk of canning or bottling it. And so I absolutely love brewery tours, not so much for the tour itself, because after a while every brewery looks sort of the same. But for the chance to try things that I'm never going to be able to try anywhere else.
All right. Well, Corey, thanks again for joining us on Dakota Midday, and best wishes for a good summer with plenty of good beer.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You too.